Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus left Samaria for Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his native place. When he came into Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, since they had seen all he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves had gone to the feast. Then Jesus returned to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. There was a royal official whose son was ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and asked him to come down to heal his son who was near death. Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "You may go. Your child will live." The man believed what Jesus said and left. When the man was on his way back, his slaves met him and told him that his boy would live. He asked them when he began to recover. They told him the fever left him yesterday about 1 p.m. The father realized that just at that time Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he and his whole household came to believe. Now this was the second sign Jesus did when he came to Galilee from Judea. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We continue in our neo-catechumen, really, and our preparation for the renewal of our baptismal promise, which is the culmination of Lent, which prepares us to live the genuine reality of Easter every day. Yesterday we had Laetare Sunday, in which Isaiah 66 told us to rejoice, Jerusalem. It was a psalm of consolation. It was a song of consolation, really, to those Jews who were in exile, that there was going to be a dramatic change for the better, and that they should rejoice in advance of exactly what would occur. Today, we have what immediately precedes that entrance antiphon from which Laetare Sunday gets its name. Chapter 65, in which Isaiah says, "Lo, I am about, I'm on the verge of creating a new heaven and a new earth. Things of the past won't be remembered or come to mind, all that you've suffered in these days. There shall be rejoicing and happiness. I'll create Jerusalem to be a joy and its people to be a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and exalt in my people. No longer will there be weeping or crying, or an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who doesn't round out his lifetime." God was preparing to do that, and he wanted them to rejoice in faith ahead of time. During this Lenten season, the Church wants us to focus on that same reality of how the Lord wants to give us something new. I'm sure you heard at the beginning of today's Mass, "O God, who renew the world with mysteries beyond all telling." We'll hear at the offertory. May we receive, O Lord, we pray, the effects of this offering dedicated to you, so that we may be cleansed from old earthly ways and be renewed in growth in heavenly life. We'll pray at the very end, "May your holy gifts, O Lord, give us life by making us new." The Lord constantly wants to renew us, and that's what this second phase of Lent is all about. To create that new heaven and that new earth, that new reality, first within us and transforming us in that way within the world. To show us what the Lord wants to do, the Church gives us on this fourth Monday of Lent this scene with the royal official from Capernaum who journeys 20 miles from there because he had heard through the grapevine that Jesus had returned to Galilee. He was longing to meet him because his son was about to die. There's a similar scene. When I was a kid, I used to always confuse this scene with the scene of the centurion from Capernaum who came to ask for his servant to be healed. That's the centurion we meet on the first Monday of Advent. But there are huge differences between the two. Really, the only link is that they were both from Capernaum. They both had a loved one who was ill, and Jesus worked the miracle for both. But all the other elements were totally different. With the centurion in Advent, we get the one who says, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you under my house." Today, the royal official insists that Jesus come to Capernaum. The centurion says, "Just say the word and my soul shall be healed." Jesus tests the faith of the royal official here and says, "Go, your son will live." But both are miracles in response to faith. And today, the church wants us to focus on this miracle of the royal official because of the journey of Lent. Need a journey to go to meet Jesus. But when we go, he's going to give us a word. We have to recognize just how powerful that word is and how Jesus wants to help us to grow precisely in that faith by which we will be renewed and live. So when this royal official comes to Jesus and begs him to come down that 20-mile journey to heal his son, Jesus said, much like he said at the foot of Mount Tabor after he had come down from the Transfiguration and the apostles had not been successful, the other nine, in curing the son of the father who approached of his demon. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you won't believe. He's challenging the faith of the royal official. The royal official's asking for him to come down to the house to see the wonder. So Jesus wants him to believe before he sees. We don't know, parenthetically, which of the miracles of the healing of the servant and the son happened first. Whether it was because of what had happened to the centurion's son that the royal official made the journey, or was it because of the royal official's son being cured that the centurion went to Jesus in Capernaum, ask and heal the servant? We don't know. But Jesus was challenging him like he would challenge doubting Thomas after the resurrection to believe without seeing. Blessed are those who have believed without seeing. And the man did believe. It was a real journey of faith. He had to go home with great hope that what the Lord had said would happen. And he was met on the way, as you know. And then he asked the question. It's a beautiful question. So there wouldn't just be a coincidence that his son somehow got better. When? And they said it one yesterday, which was exactly the moment Jesus had said it. And this royal official knew that it wasn't just Jesus' power to see that the son would get better. He knew in that timing that it was because of the word, "Your son will live," that his son recovered. Church wants us to listen to Jesus in Lent with the same attentive ears. When Jesus tells us to repent and believe, he wants us to do it. He wants us to turn our life around. He wants us to turn toward him so that he can renew us, just as we're praying throughout this Mass. He wants us genuinely to believe, to recognize that we are living in a new heaven and new earth because everything has changed, because God with us is with us, risen from the dead. That Jesus wants us to live, not just later, but have the fullness of life right now. Tomorrow we'll be marking the 50th anniversary of the election of Pope Francis. We can go back to his first homily on this gospel as Pope, which happened just a couple of weeks after he was elected, because Lent began very late that year. And he said, there are four ways that we can approach this gospel. Jesus wants us all making a journey, but he says many of us believe without making the journey. We confess the truth, we acknowledge the reality, but we don't really want to move. So we believe in the power of Jesus in the sacrament of confession, we just don't go to receive it. We believe that Scripture is the Word of God, we just don't pick it up and study it. We believe that Jesus is present in the Holy Eucharist, but we just don't really make the effort to go and adore Him and receive Him more frequently. He says we've always got to be aware of a faith that doesn't move, because when the faith is alive, it always has us following Jesus. He says the second type are those who are journeying, but journeying down the wrong road. They're moving. They do have faith enough to move, but they choose the road based on their whims, based on their likes. We could genuinely challenge whether there are many who are the biggest supporters of Pope Francis who are on the wrong road. It's the 50th year of Humanae Vitae, trying to change this teaching in order to accommodate the world. Regardless, we know that there are many. And Pope Francis says what should happen in that experience is not, the problem is not being on the wrong road per se, but it's when we recognize that we're on the wrong road, do we go back so that we can get on the right road? Do we have the courage to turn things around? Some of the times we just wallow there. I've chosen the wrong road. How could I? Our pride eats us up. He says, no, the key for us to recognize that when Jesus calls us to repent, he calls us to turn around, to go back on the right road so that we can follow him by faith. The third danger, he says, which is the worst of all, is existential tourism, he called it. That people are journeying, they do have some faith, but they're not growing in faith as they journey. They're noticing things. Just having come back from leading a pilgrimage, you see this on pilgrimages all the time, that people go and they're taking 1,000 photos, but they're not really taking anything in. They're not slowing down. They approach it as this one big, been there, done that. They're noticing the sights, but what God has given doesn't really enter. Sometimes we can be existential tourists through the liturgical season. We can go from event to event, feast to feast, but none really deeply impacts us because we're focused on other things. We're in a hurry someplace. We're at someplace that we practically consider more important than what we're actually doing. He doesn't want us going through life that way. He doesn't want us going through salvation history that way. He comes to meet us so that every event can be that dawn of the new heaven and the new earth. The fourth is the habit, is the journey we see of this royal official today. Somebody who journeys with faith, knowing that Jesus can do something. And when Jesus says something, continues to journey with faith and grow. And then seeks to have his whole household come to believe, his dear ones, his friends, his family members. The Lord has indeed rescued us, and we should praise him as we prayed in the song, and will pray in these very same words at the Easter Vigil. The Lord does come, and on the day of our baptism sets us on a journey with him. It's a journey of increased faith, as we'll ponder again tomorrow with Ezekiel. We have not journeyed 20 miles to this Mass. Some of you have just journeyed a floor. But we come with faith. And Jesus is going to do something greater for us than he did for the royal official. He's going to give us himself. Because he wants to walk with us today.